For the next few weeks of Advent and Christmas, I plan to share a series of messages on the people of Christmas. The substance for this series comes from a book that was authored by the late James Montgomery Boyce, titled The Christ of Christmas. Christmas is a time of exchanging gifts. Most of the gifts that we give each other can easily be described, but occasionally we cannot describe the gift we have received. Perhaps it's because we're overcome with emotion so that words fail us. Or perhaps it's because we cannot identify the gift, like the toddler who gives a drawing to his parents who has no idea what the drawing represents. Or perhaps we don't care about the gift given to us so that we don't even bother describing it. Other people, of course, are usually able to describe what we might not be able to describe. So what could possibly make a gift indescribable? Since all our gifts are describable, the only thing that can possibly make a gift indescribable is if it is more than human. It has to have something of God mixed with it. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. He had been thinking of very human gifts, the gift of money that the Corinthians had sent to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And the subject of giving had turned his attention to the greatest of all possible gifts. And so Paul exclaimed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." That's in the New International Version. The English Standard Version says, "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." A week ago, the officers, staff, and their spouses had a Christmas dinner at the Pebble Creek Club across the road. After dinner, we played the newlywed game. That's a game where you have three couples, each guess how well they know their spouses. Well, the men were out of the room, and when they returned, one of the questions put to the husbands was, "What is the most romantic gift you have ever given your wife?" One husband gave the right answer, the second husband got the answer wrong, and the third husband had no idea what the right answer was. Boy, did he ever turn fire engine red when his wife said that it was a romantic negligee. I suppose that was for him an indescribable gift. Even though he might have thought of the gift, he did not want to say what it was in front of all these people. But did his wife have the same measure of indescribability? Oh no, she was more than willing to share what was obviously a very meaningful gift to her. When the Apostle Paul speaks about Jesus, he describes him as God's indescribable gift. And so in what ways is Jesus indescribable? In this lesson today, I want us to see several ways in which God's gift of Jesus is beyond description. First, God's gift is beyond description because of the nature of the gift itself. The gift, as I've already said, is Jesus Christ. Now, in order to describe this gift, we must be able to describe fully who Jesus is and what He has done. And frankly, that simply cannot be done fully. Think of who Jesus is. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is fully God. Now, who can fully understand the nature of God? Of course, no one can. While there is much about God that He has been pleased to reveal to us, there is vastly more about God that we simply do not know because we are finite and He is infinite. But Jesus is not only fully God, He is also fully man. Even here we have difficulty describing Jesus. Who can fully understand and explain the virgin birth and the incarnation of Jesus? or who can fully explain the two natures of Jesus, his deity and his humanity, and how these two natures occur in one person. Again, God has revealed much to us, but there is so much that we do not understand and cannot describe. And then, think of what Jesus said. Jesus was primarily born to die in order to provide salvation for his elect by his sacrifice on the cross. Can we adequately explain Jesus' sinless life? Or can we explain what took place when Jesus hung on the cross and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In what sense did the Father forsake the Son? No, we cannot fully explain it. It is indescribable. And so God's gift is beyond description, first, because of the nature of the gift itself. Second, God's gift is beyond description because of the grace by which it is given. The gifts that you and I usually give one another have nothing to do with grace. We give gifts because the recipients of our gifts have some claim upon us. They are family members, our co-workers, or people who gave gifts to us last year. Even when we give gifts to an organization like Angel Tree, we do so because we know that they are less fortunate than we are. But God's gift to us is completely different. God is God. We are His creatures. We have sinned against God. We're in rebellion against Him. We're His enemies. And yet, it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. Think about it. God was rightly angry with us. We deserved nothing but His wrath and punishment. If God sent every one of us to hell, we would praise Him for His righteousness. And yet, God gave us what we did not deserve. He gave us His Son. He gave us new life. He gave us His grace. And frankly, that is ultimately indescribable. And so, God's gift is beyond description because of the nature of the gift itself. And it is beyond description because of the grace by which it is given. And then third, and finally, God's gift is beyond description because of the effects it produces. God's gift is beyond description because of the effects it produces. I don't have time to elaborate on the effects it produces, but I do want to list just some of the effects. These effects are forgiveness of sins, justification by faith, adoption into God's family, becoming co-heirs with Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit, a divine peace that passes all understanding, the fruit of the Spirit, the home that is being prepared for us in heaven. And I could go on and on, but these are just some of the effects that are produced in us because of the gift of God. And they are beyond full description. And even when we get to heaven, we will not be able to describe our salvation as fully as possible. Part of the reason is because we are finite and there's so much that is beyond our understanding that when we get to heaven, we will simply continue to grow in our understanding of all that God has given to us. And so, God's gift is beyond description because of the nature of the gift itself. It is beyond description because of the grace by which it is given. And it is beyond description because of the effect it produces. So, how shall we respond to God for his indescribable gift to us? Well, Paul tells us. He tells us in that very verse that we're looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the nature of the gift. Thank God for the grace by which it is given. And thank God for the effects produced by the gift. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the indescribable gift. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. Thank you for the nature of the gift. Thank you for the grace by which the gift is given. And thank you for the effects produced by the gift. And for all of this we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.